Please turn to John chapter 14, we'll start with verse 15. Are you somebody who prefers to have something special that is old? Or are you somebody who prefers to have something completely new? In other words, if you think about maybe being married, okay, and would you be the kind of person who would choose to wear your mother's dress that she wore when she got married? That the older dress that has all the significance of the person, the relationship with that person? Or you're the kind of person who would want to wear your own new dress? You love your mother and so on, but you want to wear a new dress. I don't know if husbands keep their suits, but maybe you're a guy who would want to wear his dad's suit, the older suit. Maybe you're the kind of guy who would want to wear the new one. With Jesus, we have somebody who brings together the old and the new in a profound way. He brings the best out of both of them. In fact, he takes the old and he makes it entirely new. Let's hear briefly from a few passages. First, I'm going to read from John 14, and then you don't have to turn there yet. I'll read from a few others that we'll be looking at today. This is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. If you love me, this is Jesus talking, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Let me read for you now from Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Now I'll read to you another passage from Jeremiah, chapter 31, beginning in verse 31. The prophet says, Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hands to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. And our last short reading is from Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this inspired Word of God. We pray that you would help us to value it by giving it our full attention and our full effort. Help us to dig in now and work hard to understand, that we might apply what you teach us, that we might become more like Jesus as a congregation and as individuals. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Earlier, somebody in our adult Christian ed class shared that they like R&B. And growing up, I also liked R&B. And There was a Boys to Men song. How, I don't even know the name of the song, but it's How Can I Say Goodbye? And it was a very important song to me. As many of you know, my brother got cancer when he was about 18. I think I was about 8. And he ended up dying when he was just about 21. And I was 11. And obviously that was very hard for my family and so on. It made a big impact. I loved my brother. He always looked out for me. I have great memories. I mean, I remember when he also, like, told me to get low on the pool table and he hit the pool ball and hit me in the forehead. He thought that was funny, but I loved him and he loved me. And so when he died, it was this song, How Can I Say Goodbye? It was like I owned that song. That became like my song that I would use to kind of mourn my brother without really knowing the technicalities of what I was doing. And I was just driving the other day and I heard that song and it brought back everything. And I realized that what I'm doing is I'm valuing something old, not just an old song, but through that song, I'm valuing my old relationship with my brother. That's gone. It's gone. That's the thing about death. When they close the coffin, it's done. And that was an old relationship, and I value that old relationship. And I want that old relationship back. I mean, if somebody said to me, hey, look, Tim, if God said to me, you could have a brand new brother, brand new, or you could have your old brother again, I'd pick my old brother, right? I want that old relationship to be made fully new. That would be amazing. An old relationship, fully what it was meant to be, again. That's what I would want. It wouldn't be a decision between the old and the new. It would be the old, new. And that's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is taking an old relationship, a relationship that went awry, a relationship that resulted in death when it went awry, and he's coming to make it brand new. It's not a rejection of the old in favor of the new. It's not an eschewing of the new in favor of the old, but it's taking an old relationship and making it fully new. Of course, the relationship began in the garden. And how did that relationship begin? It began with God giving us life because he wanted to. That's the kind of God he is. He wanted to create. And he wanted relationship with his creatures, in particular the creatures who bear his very stamp, his very image. And he says, I love you, I want to walk with you, so to speak, in the garden, in the cool of the day. This is a relationship also in which you love me by responding to me, by keeping my commandments. By carrying out my mission and my purpose, you will find greatest fulfillment in communion with me, by loving me and keeping my commandments. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but the serpent came and he lied. Eve listened. Eve ate. Eve passed it to Adam. Adam and Eve both knew better. Adam eats. And the heart disease sets in. Not only Adam and Eve spiritually died that day, and their hearts have been corrupted by the disease of sin, so that they no longer would willingly choose God. But the darkness has now fallen upon them and enveloped them and all of their progeny to come. What the relationship could have been died. But God didn't want it to stay that way. God wanted to renew this relationship. And so he called Abraham, a man probably on his way to go worship the moon god. And all of a sudden he hears a God making promises of land and people and purpose and preeminently the presence of God. And he believed and he obeyed the command. He loved this God who he didn't know. He believed him, and when God said go, he went. Hundreds of years later, his offspring, who were becoming like the sand of the sea, were now under a genocidal regime in Egypt where the Pharaoh was trying to snuff them out. Under oppression, enslaved peoples, people whom God, because he chose to love them, not because they deserved it, but in his grace, moved towards them and takes them out of oppression. Takes them away from genocide. And brings them into the wilderness, and they head towards the promised land. And on the edge of the promised land, Moses is making a speech, and he tells them, this God who has loved you, this is how you are to relate to him. And he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. How do you relate to God? You believe his word. He is your God. He is the only God you need. There is no other God. This is the one that has saved you. This is the one who chose to save you despite anything good that you've done or bad that you've done, but because he decided to love you. And now this is how you respond to his grace. Now, this is not how you earn a relationship. This is how you live in a relationship. And he says, this is how you do it with God. You shall love. God loves love. He loves when we love him. You shall love the Lord your God with all. With all your heart. And with all your soul. And with all your might. With everything you've got. Have you taken life to the mat before? You just worked hard. You were grinding it out for the grades. Or for the money with job. You were working hard at a friendship or a relationship. Have you felt that? Have you sweated in life? Have you cried as you desired more? That's your paradigm. That's your category for what this is supposed to be about with God. Sometimes it feels like wrestling with him. And it is to love him. But that's the call. Love him with everything you've got. And how do we do that? Verse 6. Sounds a lot like Genesis. And these words that I command you today shall be on your hearts. How do you love the God who has so loved you? You keep his commands. And did Israel do that? Of course, some did. Imperfectly, of course. But by and large, they failed. Even David, who would be so full of faith that he would go out against Goliath and take him down, would later be such a coward to kill a man in order to take his wife. Israel failed by and large. And God sent in particular prophets to enforce this covenant. They were like policemen that said, look, this is what God has done for you. This is what you committed to. Won't you come back? Won't you change your ways? If you don't, there will be discipline upon God's children. You'll be sent into exile. But at the same time that they were telling Israel these things, even telling them that, you know, it's too late, you are going into exile. There must be discipline if God's mission and work amongst you and in the world is going to move forward. There has to be an exile. But the prophets still held out hope for a future day. And what does that future day look like? This is from Jeremiah 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. Now, when this is a new covenant, we might think, then this is going to be something entirely different from the relationship we used to have. The old covenant that was like my brother who died, done, not coming back. The new covenant maybe we think that's going to be like God giving us an entirely new brother. Different hair color, different personality, all of that. But that's not actually what is going on here. You see, the reason why Israel was failing to love God and keep His word was because there still was a problem on the inside. And that's what's new about the new covenant. What's new about the new covenant is Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the way that their work affects our hearts. So He says, I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Listen, my covenant that they broke. That's the issue. They did not keep covenant. What can be done about this problem? This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will put my law within them. And I will write it on their hearts. The law that stood outside of them that Israel was unable to keep. That law that stood outside of them that was a way of expressing their love for the God who has so loved them was now going to be put inside of them. So that they would walk in His ways. God is going to make a new covenant by making us new. He's not getting rid of us. He's not getting rid of the old way of relating to us. He's renewing us so that we can finally do what humans were always meant to do. To love God and keep His word. And connected, deeply connected to that is verse 34 at the end. He says, for I will forgive their iniquity. Jesus Christ must die in our place and rise again and ascend into heaven so that He'll send His Spirit and the Spirit will come to dwell within us so that we might walk in God's ways. He will renew our hearts. And that's what Ezekiel says. I'll put my Spirit within you. And cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Do you see? God is making an old relationship brand new. And what I want to tell you is that is what Jesus is talking about here in John chapter 14. This is new covenant teaching. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I'll ask the Father, and He'll give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. You know Him, for He dwells with you. And what does it say? And what? Say it together with me. Will be in you. Jesus is calling His disciples to be human beings. He's calling them to relate to God like we always were meant to, but were unable to because of the heart disease of sin. And we are now able to because Christ has died. Christ has risen. And He has sent His Spirit to live within us so that we might love Him and keep His commandments. Now, all of this teaching in John 14 happened in the context of the Passover meal. And it was in that Passover meal that Jesus instituted a new meal. But it's not completely new, is it? It's based in the old meal of the Passover. That Passover event, which was the greatest redemptive salvation event in history past, was now taking on new significance in the greater redemptive event, Christ's death and resurrection on their behalf. And on that night when Jesus served that meal, He said, this is my body, broken for you. Take and eat, all of you. And that same night He took the cup And you know what he said. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Take and drink, all of you, for the forgiveness of sins. If you have been baptized and believed in this good news, no matter what church you go to, this meal is a family meal. So come to the table. If you've yet to believe, if you've yet to be baptized, as much as we want you to participate today, please refrain until you have come to believe, until you have come to be baptized. There is an order to coming to the table. The front door of the house is faith and baptism, and then you come in to the dining room. So please pray now to receive Jesus Christ. Come and talk to me or Elder Jay or somebody else and let them know about your new faith.